Okay, so continuing a nice entire dalet over here. So we're coming towards the end of it. There's really one last like inyan that Rav Nachman is going to reveal to us in this Torah. Then we'll be able to tie it all up like he usually does with Maimar Chazal, to put it all together, or Pasuk. Again, the last time we did this was before Pesach. So again, I don't want to get too bogged down in the Chazara. But I guess L'inyan Neinu. L'inyan Neinu, what we've been seeing is, again, the Torah of Nachman has been talking about the inyan of a Yid being able to live a b'chin of Chai Olam Haba. And Chai Olam Haba means to exist and to not exist, to know who you are, but at the same time to be a mystery. Because that's what Olam Haba is. Olam Haba is Tzadikim Yoshim V'etrasayim B'Rasheim, like Rav Nachman elsewhere explains. Chazal say that Olam Haba is Tzadikim sitting with their crowns in their heads. And Rav Nachman points out elsewhere in the Kut Maran, a crown is in your head, a crown is on your head, has been in your head. So Rav Nachman says that a crown always represents that which is mysterious, that which is unknown, that which is beyond. Keser. And the Chiddush of Olam Haba is the Keser is in the head. In other words, that mystery is not somewhere else. It's not like you're, you know, the mystery of creation is not, in this world right now, we think we understand who we are, and all that is mysterious is beyond us. The Keser is on our head. The Chiddush of Olam Haba is the Keser is in your head. You don't know who you are either, but in the best of ways. Not in a, you know, sometimes that inyan of not knowing who a person is, not having that identity, that's the oimik of what we've been talking about as well, is that inner lack of identity could be something that's usually associated in this world with the Yetzirah. And as a person falls into Yetzirah, the person, you know, you give the reins of your life, a person gives the reins of their lives into the Nefesh HaBehemah, into the Yetzirah, then you don't know who you are, because it's like who you are depends on whatever is in front of you at that moment. So that's the nature, the Maharal writes this a lot in his farm, that the nature of the Yetzirah is to be a Nifal, is to be affected, is not to have an inner identity. You know, that's why the Jewish people, the root of all exile was Mitzrayim, which was a bechin of avdus, of slavery. The inyan of slavery is that there is no identity. What is the eved? Whatever the master wants him to be. What is his job? Whatever the master wants him to be. That's the nature of the Eight Sahara, is that there is no inner identity. The person's a bal taiva when there's something that there's a taiva in front of them. The person is a bal gaiva when there's something that triggers their gaiva. They have no inner identity. The ultimate gula is like Moshe Rabbeinu, whereas the, like Ramar always talks about, the Moshe Rabbeinu is the opposite of avdus. Moshe Rabbeinu, that identity is the opposite of avdus. Cheres means to have an inner drive, to have an inner identity. That's usually, so we usually associate in this world, looking at yourself and not knowing who you are, that's usually a result of being in that chaotic state of the Yetzirah. That's what we've been talking about. The Chiddush of Olam Haba is that nature of chaos, which the Yetzirah brings, when it's reincorporated into the self in a healthy way, that results in a person of mystery. In Sisrei Torah, a person that not only is can't put his finger on the world around him, but can't even put his finger on himself of who he is, but in the best of ways, because the person is constantly being renewed and constantly being mischadesh. That's the last thing we spoke about was Moshe Rabbeinu. Is that Moshe Rabbeinu? Well, Yodesh is Kvarasa, even Moshe Rabbeinu himself doesn't know where he's buried, because Moshe Rabbeinu is that inyan of living men Olam Haba, which is not just that there's Sisrei Torah, you know, on his head. He is Sisrei Torah. He is secrets. That's the inyan of that's what we've, in this whole Torah, we've been associating this thing of men, this reality of men Olam Haba with Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Shabbos is the same inyan. Shabbos is also that pechin of completely becoming renewed. In other words, you know, the Svarim already asked the question, you know what I mean? Hashem rested on Shabbos, kilu. So what does it mean to rest on Shabbos? Hashem is not, in order for the world to exist, Hashem has to be constantly recreating it. So Hashem is creating the world in the 6 days, right? And he's creating the world on Shabbos. What exactly is the difference between the 6 days and Shabbos? I mentioned this, the Baal Tanya in the Likutei Torah, Shir Shirim, says the chiluk is like this, is that during the 6 days of the week, Hashem Yisbarach is creating the world with Dibur, right? And with Maisa, Af Yada Yasta Aretz, it says in Pasuk. So that's the 6 days of the week. But on Shabbos, the world is being created b'machshava, with Hashem's thoughts. That's what the Baal Tanya said. This, I mentioned this on Friday night, that the Baal Tanya therefore says, that's why when we commemorate the resting of Shabbos, what Hashem rested, so therefore we have an Isser Malacha b'maisa, and we also have an Isser Malacha b'dibur, dabur dov. You're not allowed to talk about over the dechol. But there's no Isser b'machshava. You're allowed to think about Malacha. Why? The answer is because Hashem is not resting in Machshava. Hashem is being Isaac in Malacha, in Machshavos. He's creating the world in Machshava. Fine, that's about time. He says, what's the difference between something that's created B'dibur and B'maisa versus Machshava? The nature of Dibur and Maisa is that there's a certain level of it is what it is. You say something, that's it. You do something with your hands, that's it. The nature of Machshava is that it's constantly, you know, unless the person is very in control of their thoughts with, like, you know, exercises and so on, the nature of machshava is that it runs constantly. It runs constantly. Your mouth doesn't run constantly. It shouldn't. Your hands don't run constantly. The mind naturally runs constantly. So the nature of thought is that it's constantly being renewed. Like, what are you thinking about now? You don't even know what you're going to... You know what you're going to say in a second. You should, right? You know what you're going to do. But you don't know what you're going to think in a second. Like, the nature of thought is that it's constantly being renewed. Ad kedei kach, that it's a mystery to ourselves, right? We don't know what's, you know, why we think what we think. We have no idea. I mean, the person has a dream at night. You don't know. Like, we know that dreams come from what you think about during the day, what you experience, whatever it is. And it's like, that's what I experienced. I didn't know that. Okay? It's a mystery to ourselves. So the nature of the creation of the world on Shabbos, which is Bechinas Olam Haba, which is Bechinas Moshe Rabbeinu, is b'machshava. It's by its very nature mysterious. It's by its very nature. That's the menucha. That's why it's ironic that it's the Shabbos is the day of menucha. It's the day of menucha when, you know, again, it's one of those two things. That constant uncertainty about what the next second will bring, so to speak, and the renewal of reality can be something not so pleasant for someone that's not comfortable with that. But Misha Tarch Be'erev Shabbos is Yerech B'Shabbos. That's why Shabbos is a the way we commemorate Shabbos to a certain degree is with the mun, right? The mun had this quality of, like, you don't know what's going to be tomorrow. It's like, we hope the mun falls tomorrow. You don't know. So it's, you know, the meaning of Shabbos is related to that. But Al Kopanim, that's what we've been talking about. And Rav Nachman is telling us that therefore the way a person can, you know, a person Chas V'Shalom falls into Averis, that's what we've been talking about. So the chaos of the Yetzirah pulls the person apart, his bones are broken, right? That's what Rav Nachman was saying. And then a person has to go through the process of putting themselves back together, right? But what you want is, when you put yourself back together, you're not just, you know, before the Yetzirah got a hold of you. You want to be Me'en Olam Haba, because that chaos that the Yetzirah brings, when you deal with the fallout, again, you know, you clean up the actual mess, you do tshuva, vidui tshuva, all the halachic processes of tshuva, that takes care of all the klipas and all the mess that was made because of the chaos. But that inner mystery that the Yetzirah revealed about the person, it's like, wow, like, I didn't know I had that in me. That Hilchas Tshuva doesn't necessarily openly, like, deal with. You know, Hilchas Tshuva is telling a person how to deal with the mess, how to clean up the mess. But then there's the inion of, like, okay, so how do I reincorporate this new personality I never knew I had back into myself to become an even deeper person, to become an Ish Saidi, a mysterious person, a person of Bechinas Olam Haba. So that's why, by the way, you know, the Gemara says that David HaMelech was zeichet to Malchus, his Malchus is eternal, whereas Sholem Melech was not, right? Sholem Melech was not. So the Gemara says that the reason for that is because Shol HaMelech's Malchus didn't last because it was a Malchus she'ein by doifi. He was too perfect. Shol HaMelech was too much of a tzaddik. He never had any flaws. But David HaMelech, you know, on his level, he had certain sins. And because of that, his Malchus is everlasting. Does that mean? Adarabba, you would think that if a person is more perfect, that means it's gezaldik. The answer is no. What's Malchus? Malchus is mystery. Malchus is... Like, if you think about it, like, what do you need a king for, right? I mean, I've spoken about this before, and maybe for Yeshua Shira, I'm like, what is the point of a melech? In terms of halachic decisions, you have a Sanhedrin. In terms of military inyanim, leadership, you have a Meshuch Muhammad. in terms of, you know, okay, so you have Shaiftim. Like, what exactly does the king do? What's his job? What's his job? So it's hard to know what his job is. But in the Sarak Daisha, Malchus is always associated with a sense of mystery. With a sense of mystery. The inyan of a melech is that he appears and it's like, whoa, there's a certain mystery that he brings to the table. That's what a melech, to a certain degree, brings. That the hashpah of malchus is that in Chabad Svarim there's a lashon like this that the inyan of malchus is a hashpah of hisrobimus, a hashpah, a revelation of mystery of yira. Of yira. That's what a melech is associated with. You can't be meichel on his kavod. That's good. Why can't he be meichel on his kavod? A talmid chacham can be meichel on his kavod. Why? Because the Talmud Chacham is not what he's there for is not to give kavod, not to be the inyan of kavod. That's not what his it's a byproduct of being a Talmud Chacham. So you can be Michael. And a parent's inyan is not to be mashpia this sense of kavod to the kids. It's a byproduct of being a parent. So you can be Michael. The inyan of a melech is to give over to his subjects that sense of kavod towards the melech. That's what he's supposed to do. Can't be Michael. That's his job. So the inyan of malchus demands a sense of mystery. When something is identified and you chop it, then it loses its kavod. It loses its yir, its meir. It loses its meir. The meir comes from a sense of mystery. The inyan of melech is that you should never be able to say exactly who David Melech is. The way that happens, the one that holds the key to that inyan of mystery is in fact the Yetzirah. It's in fact the Yetzirah. Shalom Melech. You could know, you know who Shalom Melech is. Whatever it says in Shulchan Aruch, he's going to do. So like you got him, like you chop him. That's not Malchus. The inyan of Malchus is to be someone that's mysterious, and the way that manifests is through incorporating the kayach that the Yitzhara somehow brings out, and to incorporate that into one's identity. So that's the inyan of. That's why David Melech had that quality. Again, this is why. So going back to Reb Nachman said the way to do this is by being connected to a Talmud Chacham. That's Bechinas Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That's Bechinas Moshe Rabbeinu. That's again, as I mentioned many times, that Reb Nachman is a big inyan of connecting Moshe and David. Moshe and David. Moshe David equals B'gmatria HaMashiach. So that's Gula. That's Gula in a way of Rachman. That's been a theme throughout the entire Likut Moran. It's like this, Moshe and David. And that's the same idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, why David HaMelech, the Pasuk says, for example, there's a mitzvah in every single year to have a Sefer Torah. Right? See, there's a mitzvah of Sefer Torah. But there's a special mitzvah for a king to have a second Sefer Torah als king, that wherever he goes, he has to L'yomash Sefer Hazem Mipich and so on. The Sefer Torah has to be with my, you know, David Melech, the Malchus of Beis David. The Melech has to have a special Sefer Torah. Why? Why? So again, that's part of that is making this unique iskashus between David and Moshe, because that bond is what we're talking about. Moshe is that mystery, you know, in its source. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. David Melech captures that mystery maybe from below to above, you know, by falling into traps of the Yetzirah, by doing tshuva and then reincorporating, you know, when the bones heal, but then now they're double jointed, like I've been saying. So now he becomes a man of mystery. Maybe not like Moshe Rabbeinu is a man of mystery. Like Moshe Rabbeinu was created with that mystery, you know, he was created in such a way. That's his mohos, is just. There is no Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is whatever the next mitzvah is. Moshe Rabbeinu is kulei sod. He's kulei sod. There is no individual person Moshe. That's why I mentioned on Shabbos that he could go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim whenever he wants, because the Kodesh HaKodeshim, like I was talking about on Shabbos, is a place that it's not the pshat that you can't, that you're not allowed. The regular Beis HaMikdash, a kohen, it's a place for kahanim. It's just that you can't go for no reason. You can't go without Shloi Letzarech Havoida. The Kodesh HaKodeshim is not the pshat you can't go Shloi Letzarech Havoida. Kodesh HaKodeshim is a pshat that it's not a place for Kaha. It's a place for Elikus. And so you have to be, in order to go into Kodesh HaKodeshim, you have to be not a person. You have to not exist in order to go to Kodesh HaKodeshim. In fact, that's what the Yerushalmi says by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The Yerushalmi famously says that it says in Pasuk, V'chol Adam Lo Yiyah Ba'al Mayid, that no one's allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So says the Yerushalmi that, what about the Kohen Gadol himself? It's a funny question. What about the Kohen Gadol himself? So the Yerushalmi says the Kohen Gadol is not a person when he goes into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So that, because that's easy. Because you're not allowed to be a person in Kodesh HaKodeshim. Kodesh HaKodeshim is not a place for people. It's a place for the Rabbanu Shalom. And Moshe Rabbeinu can go there all the time, because Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't know who Moshe Rabbeinu is. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't himself know who he is. But that's how Moshe Rabbeinu was created. David HaMelech discovers that through the ma'apechas of life, and because of that, he's zaychet to malchus. Again, malchus means that constant, that hashpa of a sense of moira, that, like, that's his job, is to give over a sense of moira malchus to the people. Like I said, he can't be meichel that. That's his job, and that sense of moira comes from always being able to always changing and renewing oneself. That's the renewal. Like I was saying before, that's the renewal of Shabbos. Shabbos is the way. Why is Shabbos the makor dekula, the renewal of the week? The answer is because, again, that's the Shabbos is men olam haba. Olam haba is not like we've been saying from the very beginning. Olam haba is not just a place that you go to after 120. Olam haba is where everything starts, right? Olam haba is that bechinas ayin. It's that place of nothingness that everything emerges from. The chiddush of olam haba is that we're able to go back to ayin with all of our experiences, and we become ayindig. We become ayindig. Well, that's the chiddush of Shabbos. That's the chiddush of olam haba. That's why I mentioned this before. The Kamarna and other svarim say that usually there's the Yetzirah is strongest Erev Shabbos. Of all the days of the week, the Yetzirah is strongest. Specifically, the Kayach of the fire of the Yetzirah, which is Machlekes and Chaos. That's the Iker Kayach of the Yetzirah is on Friday like that. As the Svarim famously say, it means don't bring the fire of Friday, which is a fire of destruction, of chaos, don't bring that into Shabbos. But why is that? So Pashup Shat, because, every time before you go into a high place, there's always a Yerida before an Aliyah. But according to this, it's much deeper than that. That's how you come into Shabbos. That chaos, that fire of Machlaikis, which is, what's Machlaikis? Machlaikis is breaking bones. Machlaikis is, every Machlaikis boils down to one Yisai, which is like a lack of communication, right? That's usually the way it is. Like, that's like the famous Maisa, who was it? I don't remember which tzaddik it was, but he came to a certain town, right? And this lady says, "Yankel," and she starts running towards him and starts hitting him with her purse and starts beating him. And the gabayim were like, "What?" And she's screaming the whole time. You left me in a guna years ago. What are you doing? And like they tell him, "This is not your husband. This is whoever the tzaddik was." And so she realizes her mistake, and so she apologizes. And the tzaddik says, "There's nothing to be upset about. The person that you thought I am, I taka deserve to be it. It happens to be, you identified me incorrectly. That they just, we're not really arguing with each other. The person you think I am, I also agree. Happens to be, and the person who I am, you agree shouldn't be it. So it's okay. It's just a lack of communication. That's Machlokes is like that. But it means that the site of Machlokes is boiling down. The emes is site. It's a mystery. That quality of mystery is really the underpinnings of every Machlokes. The fire of the Yetzirah, which is Friday, is rooted in this inyan of lack of communication, which, again, in an unhealthy way means Machlokes. In a healthy way, it means site. It means site. That's, That's why even on Pesach, you eat matzah. Matzah, Rav Nachman has a Torah where the word matzah, he says, comes from the word matzah meriva, which means machlokes. Matzah means machlokes. How can matzah mean machlokes? Matzah, the Zohar says, is michlat deim nusa, is the food of refuah, it's the food of amunah. Machlokes. Moshe, Rav Nachman has a place in Lukud Rani, he says, Moshe is Rosh HaTevis, machlokes Shammai Hill. Machlekes Shammai Hill. It's Machlekes B'Shammai Hill. That's Moshe. The answer is, yeah, that inyan of the highest level of Amunah is not, you don't need Amunah when things are obvious and things are clear. Olam Haba is a place of Amunah. Olam Haba is that place of sight. But it's not a Machlekes, meaning that inyan of Matzah being Machlekes is not a bad Machlekes. It's when the Pnimius of Machlekes, which is mystery, is incorporated healthily into a person. That's called matzah. That's called emunah. That's called, you have to have emunah, not just, where is emunah? Emunah means I don't know who the Ribbono Shel Olam is, but I believe in him. In other words, because I know that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, I just don't know who he is. And so that's what, that when you ingest that, not only is that in, and that comes from, where does that come from? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam, what makes the Ribbono Shel Olam mysterious, ad kedei kach, that you have to have emunah in him, is because there's all different things going on at the same time. There's there's weddings and levayas, lolein, and there's all coming from the same God. So that, when I know with 100% certainty that there's one God controlling all of it, and I can't figure that God out, that results in an experience of a mysterious God, which is healthy machlokes. That's good machlokes. So then, and that requires emuna. So that's what you're eating when you eat matzah. But not only are you eating matzah to have emuna in Hashem, that's also eating matzah to have emuna in yourself. In other words, to get to that place within yourself of where you're an ish saidi. That's why you know the Haggadah doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Why doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu's name? The Rambam writes in Hilchas Chametz and Matzah that the mitzvah of Pesach night is to speak about the nisim and nefois that took place to our ancestors in Mitzrayim through Moshe Rabbeinu. So in the gather of the mitzvah, the Rambam mentions Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Right, so I spoke about on Shabbos Haggadah that it could be that Rambam is talking about the Haggadah that would be with Karban Pesach. Without Karban Pesach, the Haggadah without is not Moshe Rabbeinu. But Pashtus, probably the simple one of the answers can be is that the Haggadah, you don't mention Moshe's name because it's cool. It's cool. You are Moshe Rabbeinu Kilo. It's like the whole thing is Moshe Rabbeinu is so, you know, it's like a lot of Mepharshim say that Parshas Tetzave doesn't have Moshe's name. Why? It's not that Pshat doesn't have Moshe's name, because the whole Inyan of Kahuna, which is in Parshas Tetzave, is really other Yidden becoming Bechinas Moshe. It's like Parshas Achrim, as we just had, the Kohen Gadol going to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Chazal say that the reason why Aaron and the future Kohen Gadolim go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim on Yom Kippur is to give them the opportunity once a year to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, so the whole Inyan of Kohen Gadol is to be like Moshe. Kohen Hedid is a Hemshech of Kohen Gadol. So the whole thing is Bechinas Moshe. So Parshas Tetzav doesn't have Moshe's name because it's cooling Moshe. It's the whole thing. Every single Yid becoming a Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Parshas Tetzav is. Every Kohen being Bechinas Moshe, that's Parshas Tetzav. So Moshe's name is not identified because the whole thing is about everyone becoming that. And that's what the Haggadah is. So Pesach night, that Inyan of becoming, of ingesting matzah, of becoming an Ish Saidi, that's an Inyan of being a Moshe Rabbeinu. So you don't identify Moshe in the Haggadah because that's who you are becoming in the process of the Haggadah. Okay, anyway, so Rav Nachman, again, was telling us that in order to do this, you have to be miskasher to a tzaddik, which is Bechinas Moshe. Now, the example of that hiskasheris that Rav Nachman has been talking about until now was was the medium of Vidui Dvar, of talking the Inyan out with the tzaddik. Now, That level of interaction with this tzaddik, that's Bechinas Moshe, the Talmud Chacham, that's Bechinas Moshe, that's a very intimate interaction. That's like mamish, you're sitting with Yechidus, and you're saying it out, or the tzaddik reading the kfit, whatever, you know, whatever the interaction is, and somehow. All changed by the experience and put together in a new way, you become more of an ish saidi and so on. But Rav Nachman now reveals to us that there's madrigas of relationship with this Talmud Chacham that sort of leads to that highest madriga. That madriga of interaction which is the most intimate of actually talking about your inyanim with the tzaddik. That's the highest level of this interaction. But there are stages before that of interacting with the tzaddik that are less personal, but is also part of putting yourself back together. So Rav Nachman is going to identify for us three madrigas. And the inyan of speaking to the tzaddik is madriga number three, but there are two madrigas preceding that. Now, by the way, this is related to Shabbos. I don't know, we'll see if we have time. It's already getting late. But there are three times to Shabbos. There's Friday night, Shabbos day, and Shal Shudas. Those are the three meals of Shabbos. The three times of Shabbos is also related to this. Again, Shabbos is Menom Habbos, the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's these three things at the same time. So maybe we started this a little bit by Pisches. So again, Torah Dalet Pisches. V'zesh Omer Chachamein Zecharim Levracha. So it's a Gemara in Saita. So Nachman is quoting us a Gemara in Saita, Chaf Aleph. Mashal Echad. So the Gemara says a mashal. It's going on the pasuk ki ner mitzvah Torah ar. So the Gemara says a mashal to that pasuk. Mashal Echad shayimalch b'derech. A person is going in the path. He's traveling. Peishan laila v'afel in the middle of the darkness, middle of night. Umesiari min akaitzim anu b'chasim umechayira umilistim. So again, the Gemara gives a mashal. A guy's walking, he's traveling at night, he doesn't know, he's afraid of many things. First of all, he's afraid of bumping into thorn bushes, maybe tripping on a rock, falling into a ditch, he can't see. Okay, then the Gemara says, so then what happens is if I can remember correctly, maybe lightning strikes or something, or some. I think that's how the. The Gemara says, that he finds a road. I think that's what the Gemara says. I have to look it up. I'm sorry. I should have looked it up before. I think he finds a road. So now that he's on a road, he's not worried about bumping into anything. But he's still concerned. It's the middle of the night. He's still concerned with chayas, with animals, and listen. So then the Gemara says, then the Gemara says he finds a torch. So now that he has a torch, he's not afraid of those concerns either. But he's still concerned about what? He doesn't know where he's going. He's still wandering in the dark. Until finally he gets to, like, the sun rises and he gets to, like, a fork in the road where there's signs. Okay, so now he knows where to go. Something like that. So he says like this. So Nachman explains to us that in this Gemara is hinted the three madrigas of Iskashris with a tzaddik, like a Moshe Rabbeinu b'chinas tzaddik, to find me'en olam haba. That's why this whole mashal of a person being in that path, that's like olam haza, right? And you don't know where you are, what's going on. It's that state of chaos that a person finds themselves in, that the Yetzer brings to a person. And the whole story of the Gemara is to be able to eventually get. See, it's interesting. The maskan of the Gemara, it's not the pshat that he gets to his destination. Because even olam haba is you're going also, but at least that you know where you're going. So it's like, the nature of olam haba is still that you're not ben menucha. Tzadikim ein la menucha, and even in olam haba, but at least al kaponim, you know where you're going. So he says like this, kizei yidua, it's known, shekol amidas rois, we're told the same, all of negative midas, all of our personality traits, nimshachin mi'arba yisaitas, come from four elements, mi'arba mares, or some svarim, four, it's called biles. In the olden days, they used to have this idea that there's four different liquids throughout the body, corresponding to the four elements, which give rise to four basic personality traits, which constitute in different, percentages and different mixtures, basically a person. So again, whether this is true, like physically or not, is irrelevant. But in the Surah Makdashim, this is definitely true on a spiritual level. Everything is about four. Yudke Vavke, the person is created with Selma Lakim, which is four. So that's so when we're talking about, trying to identify who a person is, both in that chaotic state and trying to put the pieces back together in a healthy way, the pieces are four. There are four pieces. And so this is going to be the process of Nachman is going to explain to us the process of being put back together through his kashas with a tzaddik is going to be dealing with these four elements. And slowly, and piece by piece, you put yourself back together. And then you could healthfully say, I don't know who I am. That's what Olam Haba is. Kamuva Mishnas Chassidim, the Sefer Mishnas Chassidim talks about this. Okay, so and what are the four basic traits that we're all made up of? But again, he's describing them in the negative, so like the negative form of these traits. So the first midah, he's working, let's say, bottom up, is atzvas, is sadness, laziness, lethargy, v'tol d'seihem, nimshachem midoimem. These four qualities, these four midas correspond to the four elements, which also correspond to the four strata of reality, of doimem, tzameh, chayim, medaber, right? Bottom up. So the lowest element, which is afar, earth, which is associated with daimim, inanimate objects, in the nef, in the person, means laziness and sadness, means not wanting to get out of bed, right? That's that midah that's coming from, that's like a daimim. Taivas rois v'tol d'seihem, which is the opposite, it's very excitable, that's movement. Nimshachem mitzameh, that's related to the next strat of reality, which is tzameh, plant life, which is constantly growing. That's what the identity of a tzameh is that it's growing. So that and the Sfarim always point this out that this is also related to water, right? Whereas laziness is related to offer, taiv is related to water. Water is flowing. Water is the source of vitality, of which is a good thing. But in putting a negative spin on it means taivus. Dvarim v'teila v'tol d'seihem. Dvarim v'teila means that you're involved, you're active, but you're active in things that have no meaning. It's just dvarim v'teila, the part of a person that wants to waste time. So there's a part of a person that just wants to sleep all day. That's called atzvas. And atzvas, that's offer. But then there's a part of a person that doesn't want to sleep all day. They want to do things, but they want to do things that are meaningless. That's the connected to ruach, to wind, which is, just flying around, nothing. Nimshach michai, that's related to animals. Animals do things. Animals walk around it, but it's meaningless. It's not productive. And then finally, the highest one of the midas is called gaiva, v'tol d'seim. That's from fire. Fire rises. Nimshachin, and fire wants everything to be it, right? Fire consumes, turns everything into fire. That's the nature of gaiva, and that's nimshach mi-medaber. That's related to medaber. Medaber means to speak, means my ideas, right? You communicate your own ideas. That's medaber. That's, again, all these midas could be healthy and good. Offer is a beautiful midah when there's a taiva that is tempting a person, that's when you want to turn on your atzlus, you know? That's when you want to just like, okay, whatever, I'm too tired, right? When it's something that you have to get out of bed, that's when you want to turn on, you know, the taiva part. You know, it's a little different, you know, it's a matter of using them properly, like everything else. But those are the four elements. Umisha writes a leilich b'derech ha-kodesh. A person wants to go on the proper path. Tzorach l'shaber kol midas rois. Person has to break these midas. And so again, that's the first component, which is just like clean up the mess, like, you know, go through the Hilchus Tshuva, you know, make sure all the fallout of the mistakes and all the Taivas Rois and all the Midas Rois are taken care of. The Yisab Lefnei Talmud Chacham, and then to engage in this level of Hiskashos of the Talmud Chacham, Hainu Vidu Devarim, V'Talmud Chacham Yifarish V'Yivar Lei Derech Lefi Sharish Nishmasai, and that highest Madrega, that the tzaddik, through being the intimate experience with the tzaddik, a person will then discover, the tzaddik will reveal, a person will discover their sharash neshama, their path in life. Again, that's like in the Gemara, where you finally get to that proper path in life. And it's like an identity that's the irony of it. Like, the highest madrig is to know your sharash neshama, but even that sharash neshama doesn't mean that you know why. You know what you need to do. That's why I spoke about this, I think, last time before Pesach, is that Moshe Rabbeinu, all of the mystery of Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't result in him. See, how do you know whether the inability to identify oneself is Yetzaharadik or it's Olam Habadik, right? So the answer is it depends on the results. If the mystery is coming because of the Yetzahara, it's going to result in a person not knowing what to do, not having a sense of purpose. Like, I don't know. But when it's an Adam Habadik not knowing, then you don't know who you are, but you know what you're needed for. You know what your shlichus is. You know what you need to produce in the world. I don't know why I was created for that, and I don't know. And my shlichus might change, it might evolve, but that sense of mission is a Moshe Rabbeinu quality. Moshe Rabbeinu is not obsessed with knowing who he is. It's irrelevant to him because he knows that who he is a mystery. All he cares about is what he's needed, what he needs to do, what the Rabbani Shalom sends him to do. So Olam Haba, that's the Rabbani Nachman is describing the highest measure, like the ultimate goal is to know your Sharash and Hashama in terms of again, in the Mashal, in the Gemara, it means the path that you're supposed to be taking, which means not that you're actually home. Like, you could think, like, why would, if the goal is knowing your Sharash and Hashama, then in the mashal of the story in the Gemara Saita, which Rav Nachman is going to, you know, connect with this whole story, with this whole Inyan, the goal should be the guy finally makes it home. The answer is no, that's not it. Home means that you know who you are. That's not where, you don't know who you are. It's Bechinas Ayin, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu. But the idea is that at least you know the path that you're supposed to be taking. You know what you're supposed to be doing. Who I am, where, why am I being sent on this mission? The Gemara doesn't, the Mashal doesn't say that story, doesn't say that part. But this is the Akupana, what I'm supposed to be doing. Why? It's kind of irrelevant. Okay, that's the background. The Yesholosh Bechina, this is Mamash Light. Okay, the Yesholosh Bechina is Beskarvas Latzadikim. So Rabbi Nachman says there are three Madregas, three Bechinas in connection to the Tzadikim. Shayidei Sholosh Bechinas Elu Nistakana Kol. And through these Madrega, step one, step two, and step three, then all of one's midas are realigned in a way, like we've been talking about before, which is men alam habav Elohim hashleisha bechinas, and these are the three bechinas. Okay, I guess I think it's I don't think we're going to be able to continue. I guess next week, Bez Hashem, we'll be able to go. But I'll just give you like a path of how Rav Nachman is going to be saying it. What he's going to talk about is that the first level of connection to the tzaddik, it goes from less intimate to most intimate, right? So like the first madrega, Rav Nachman is going to say, is like wanting to go see a tzaddik. And he says that inyan is helpful in putting together the lower two midas of Ofer and Doyim and Sameach, those qualities within the self that correspond to laziness and taivus. So running to go see a tzaddik is helpful in that. Again, this it's important to know because people will read this and they might misunderstand. This is not replacing the avodah of like tshuva and inner work. This is the next step. Again, the fallout and cleaning up the mess, that's on you. Tzaddik's not going to do that for you. But we're talking about the next madrega of incorporating that mystery that the Eitz Hara brought out of you into the self in a healthy way in each midah. That you need a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu was helpful for. So once a person goes through the process that they're able to do, then they engage in this avoida of iskashus to a tzaddik. So the first madriga is going to be wanting to run to see a tzaddik, which tzaddik doesn't know you, like might not know you. So it's a very, it's a level of iskashus, but it's not really close, right? That helps for the first two midas. Then the next madriga is going to be giving donations to the tzaddik, which is already more of a connection, maybe not like eye to eye, and he might not, you know, there's no meeting with the tzaddik, but I'll go upon him, your money, your energy, you're giving that over to the tzaddik. That's a level of connection, but not too personal. That's going to be the next madriga of realigning the higher two midas of a person, the chai and the medaber. And then there's the highest madriga, which is like we've talked before, vidoy dvarim, right? Which then reveals like the mystery of the sharash hanashama of who the person is, way beyond just the four midas, but like the mamash, the etzem of who the person is. Those are the three things. And Rav Nachman is going to relate that to the mashal of the Gemara, and that's basically the end of Torah Dalet. Okay, so as Hashem, next week we'll be able to run through it quickly.